why are we here today, like in this seminar? What's the seminar? Your parents made you come. Well, that's cool. I'm glad they did. I'm glad they did because you're here.
That's a joke.
But what is the seminar? What is it? Yeah. There's a topic. Does anyone know the topic?
Desire.
Oh, desire. Yeah.
Yeah, but you knew that.
Well, I'm
desire. But so, all right. So I'm. Does everyone have a Bible?
Yeah.
No. Because this is kind of biblically based, and we are going to read some scriptures. So, if anyone has a phone or a Bible, that would be great. And I'm going to need 7 people to read. It's okay. It's okay if you don't. I do, and I'll read if we need it. But you got a Bible? You're going to help us read, Don? So, so I would like it if everybody pays attention, okay? And you don't. All right, that's great. So, what do you want, and why do you want it? That's like the subtitle, desire. What do you want and why do you want it? We're going to have 8 people read. So hopefully we've got 8 Bibles here. The first one, who wants to read first? I'm going to give you the scripture. Who wants to read first? So who's capable of reading? Anna Sophia.
I'm illiterate.
So you're going to look up Deuteronomy 14. And you're going to read to us verses 22 to 26, when I say go.
Can you tell me what you read?
Deuteronomy 14, 22 to 26. So we're here at the Feast of Tabernacles, all of us, right? And there's a scripture, you probably have all heard it, that talks about how when we keep our tithes and we travel to the feast where God places his name, we can buy whatever our heart desires. Will you read that scripture for us?
Be sure to set aside a tenth of all that your fields produce each year. Eat the tithe of your grain, new wine and olive oil, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks in the presence of the Lord your God, at the place he will choose as a dwelling for his name, so that you may learn to revere the Lord your God always. But if that place is too distant, and you have been blessed by the Lord your God, and cannot carry your tithe, because the place where the Lord will choose to put his name is so far away, then exchange your tithe for silver, and take the silver with you, and go to the place the Lord your God will choose. Use the silver to buy whatever you like, cattle, sheep, wine, or other fermented drink, or anything you wish. Then you and your household shall eat there in the presence of the Lord your God and rejoice.
What version is that?
The NIV.
NIV. It says, buy whatever you like. And other versions say, whatever your heart desires. And that's kind of the same thing, right? Yeah, whatever you want. So God has a promise that he's got a bunch of promises that he's made to us if we choose to claim those promises. We can choose to claim them or not. So who's next in reading? This needs to be quicker. Come on, guys. It's not hard to read. Who has the capability of reading? You're going to read, Chris? Thank you. It's Psalm 37. Verse 3 to 5. Psalm 37. You're going to read? Can you cue up Jeremiah 17? 37, yeah. Anybody else is able to read?
I can look something up.
But you can't read it?
I can read it.
That's great. So the next... That's great. So Galatians 5.
Okay.
All right. You get there. And Don, will you go to also Galatians 5? Yeah. And then Anna Sophia, you go to Genesis 3.
I already read.
Well, you can read? Okay, great. Genesis 3. Anybody else can read? Mateo?
I'm downloading it. I thought I had it, but I can.
All right. Well, when we get there, we can figure out who's going to do it. So right now, we're going to have Chris read Psalm 37, verse 3 to 5. Listen up.
Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feel on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass.
That's right. So he said, whoever wrote that psalm said, delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. So that's one of those promises that I was talking about, that we can choose to claim that promise, to get given to us by our God whatever our heart desires. How do we get that? How do we claim that promise? Does anybody know? Just remember what he read, because it says it real clearly. Remember what he read? Delight in the Lord, and he will give you those things that your heart desires. Delight in the Lord. That's all you got to do. And he will grant you those promises. But what is the desire of your heart? If you delight in the Lord and he answers that promise to you and you are granted the desires of your heart, what is that? What does that mean? What does that look like? What do you think of when you hear the word desire? Something you want to do. Something you want to happen. Don?
It's your hope for your life. What your dreams are.
Right. And those are all true. And in the simplest form, Blake said it is what you want. Basically, that's what you want. What do you want for yourself? Well, there are, I think, two categories of desire. There's desires in the context of your relationship with God, and there's desires in context with your relationship with the world. Maybe you divide it by spiritual and physical, and you think about, what do you desire for lunch today? That's a physical example. What do you desire for the rest of your life? Well, that could be probably more of a spiritual desire, where you want to, you know, be blessed and follow God and end up in the kingdom. But we've been talking about the desires of your heart. Psalm 37 says that if you delight in the Lord, God will give you the desires of your heart. And Anna Sophia read that when we come to the feast, we go there to celebrate, like Matt said the other day, to celebrate before God, and we can buy whatever our heart desires. But who's going to read Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10, please, Natalie?
The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his way, according to the fruits of his doings.
Read the first line again, loudly.
The heart is deceitful above all things.
Yeah, that's all. The heart is deceitful above all things. That's kind of like a warning that Jeremiah gives us, that when we listen to our heart, sometimes our heart says things that are not necessarily good for us because it's deceitful. And we're going to talk about why that might be. In saying all this, there's some bad news. When we're given the promise of God giving us the desires of our heart, we have to be careful because our hearts are deceitfully wicked. So how's that work? How can we be promised to get whatever we want if what we want comes from a wicked place? Anybody have an idea? I'm going to go back to what Chris read in the Psalms. He said, delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. So it sounds simple, but if you think that you're delighting in the Lord, what does that mean for you? How are you living your life? How are you delighting in the Lord? If you're doing that, then the desires of your heart will not be of an evil worldly intent that comes from a deceived heart. Does that make sense? All right. I think I might. Who's reading Galatians 5? Let's do that right now. Let's read Galatians 5 in verse 16 to 18, just those 3.
But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh, for the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law.
Perfect. So what I'm making a connection of is what he said, what Blake read is that if you walk by the Spirit, you're not under the law. I'm linking that to delight in the Lord and he'll give you whatever your heart desires. Meaning, if you're doing things the right way, if you're in touch with God and you're loving him and you're loving his ways and you're not focusing on yourself and the things that you want for you, and you're looking at God and doing the things that he wants for you, then those promises will be answered. And then you're not under the law, which doesn't mean that you can go and break the law. What it means is that the law doesn't mean so much to you because you're by nature following the law. And by nature, if you're delighting in the Lord, you're not desiring things that are not good for you. Does that make sense? Drawing a connection? Maybe. So I would argue that, you know, we're talking about healthy desires that come from following God and unhealthy desires that come from following yourself. And I want to argue that more of those desires are actually healthy desires, even though they come from the self. All right? So I don't want everyone to think that, oh, my flesh is evil and everything that I think of in my heart is bad and be depressed by that because God made us. He made us good. We've fallen. We're sinful, but inherently we're good. And I'm going to argue that many of the desires that we have are inherently good. It's just that we choose to fulfill them in an unhealthy way. All right? So, we're going to talk about some examples of that. We, as humans, have this desire, and we tend to go to unhealthy places. We look in the wrong places to fulfill those desires. We look to our flesh, and we say, I want to feel and see and hear and smell and touch and taste this result of, you know, to the fulfillment of my desire, instead of trusting what God can do for us. I'm going to give you an example. It's a scientific example. There's a medical scientist, I don't know his name, we could look it up, but he was studying addiction. And so what he did was he took a rat and he put the rat in the cage and he put two water bottles in the cage and one of the water bottles had water and the other water bottle had water laced with cocaine. And so he observed the rat and found out that the rat would, guess what the rat did? Who wants to guess what the rat did? No, yeah, any no ideas from the younger kids? He drank the cocaine. It's not a trick question, right? He observed that the rat would just try the water, try the cocaine, never go back to the water, drink the cocaine until he died of a heart attack. And he was like, oh, well, there you go. There's proof, scientific proof that cocaine is an addictive substance and it'll eventually kill you. Well, we see that every day, right? We hear about it on the news and other drugs as well. And addiction is like that. Well, there was another scientist who came along sometime after, and he had a theory, and he wanted to test it. So he got a cage, and he put in the cage a water bottle with just water, and a water bottle with cocaine and water, and a hamster wheel, and some tunnels, and some sawdust, and a bunch of other mice, males and females. And he made it like Rat Park. In fact, I think he called it Rat Park. And it was supposed to be a fun place for rats to live. And it really was. And what do you think happened? None of them drank the cocaine. Those rats were satisfied. They had everything they wanted. They had everything they needed. They would try the cocaine. They tried the regular water, and they abandoned the cocaine. They didn't drink it. And so what does that tell you? It tells you that, yeah, if you're happy, then you don't need to seek out these other things. And so I'm going to draw that example, that real life example that really did happen, to our discussion here about desire and how we view what God wants for us and how we view what we want for us and how there's kind of a similarity there in that God can provide everything that we desire in our hearts, the way that God created us, not the way that we necessarily exist today with in the fallen world with the sin that exists, but in our core, our core desires are clean and pure. And if we look to God, He will fulfill all of those. Like Chris read, you delight in Him and He will give you all of the desires of your heart, but not those fleshly desires. It's really those core desires that only God can provide. There's another scripture. I think Don's next for Galatians. We're going to stay in Galatians 5. We're going to read the next part. It's 19 to 21.
Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such, like of which I tell you before, as I have told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
They which do such things. There's a long list there of stuff that are basically the fulfillment of desires. You don't have the list in front of you, but tell me some of the things that you heard, that list. One, just give me one or two. Alcohol, drinking, yeah, drunkenness, right? Another one? Murder? Was that murder? Mm-hmm. Good, I didn't catch that one. That's a long list, and I don't commit that list to memory. Maybe I should. Hatred.
Envy.
So these are, if we're going to look at this list as desires that we have, desires of our flesh, desires that are going to prevent us from getting into the kingdom, then maybe we can take a look at those. Let's just pick one and see where's that core desire, the desire that comes from that pure heart that God created in us. It manifested some desire, and it ended up in drunkenness or lasciviousness or debauchery or murder or drunkenness or whatever, one of those, right? If you pick one of those, I'm thinking that a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them can be traced back to a desire that we have in our heart that is actually a healthy desire. It's a pure desire that comes from something that we yearn for as humans, as children of God. It's just that because our heart has been deceived and is deceitful and sick, we choose to fulfill it in a physical way that's unhealthy for us. If you're delighting in God, if you're walking by the Spirit, then it's a little bit easier to take that core desire and fulfill it in a way that's healthy, that doesn't involve drinking alcohol or killing somebody or... Comment?
Yeah, kind of a comment. While we're talking about this, it just seems like a lot of times it's not necessarily the desire... Well, we want immediate gratification of that desire, and so sometimes
that's right.
The unhealthiness is that we're not being patient for what's
sure.
coming our way.
Absolutely, and so what Don said is that we part of the thing that drives that unhealthy fleshly need to fulfill the desire is that we can get it now. So the rat wanted something to do because he was bored out of his mind, and he couldn't wait for his buddies to come over. So he decided to go to the cocaine. And I say that kind of jokingly, but modern studies of addiction show that it's the cycle that people get into and they don't have a circle of support and friends, so they go to the drugs to get that to fulfill that desire. So there's an example right there of how people have this core desire that's very healthy. In other words, that core desire looks like companionship, relationships with other people. If you don't have that, if you don't have the love and the support that people need, then you're going to look for it somewhere, and you might find it in heroin or alcohol. Right? Does that make sense? So there's an example of a core desire that you have that you can easily fulfill that using bad things that are going to tear you down and destroy you, or you can look to God and fulfill it in a good, healthy, clean way, which will show that you're delighting in God and His plan and present you with all of the desires of your heart. Does that make sense? Sounds easy. The thing about humans is that we're different from rats in a cage. We have, did you know that? We as humans differ from animals in many ways. We could make a big list of them, but I want to point out a few ways that we're different. We as humans, as children of God, as His creation, we seek perfect truth. Do you know of any other animals that seek truth? I mean, we look for it, and what I mean by that is when you have a little kid who's just learning about talking and checking things out and understanding, they say, why does water turn to ice when it gets cold? And you say, oh, well, I don't know. You know, and scientists take that, you know, to the nth degree further, and they say, you know, why does a cancer exist and how does it work? Because we're always knowing that we don't know everything, so we want to seek more. And that's a unique trait of humans that we have. We also seek perfect love. We always want to be accepted and loved for some reason. In the animal kingdom, there's a lot of example of the need for nurturing and caring and snuggling, you know, and you see a mama and her puppies feeding them. Looks like there's a lot of love there. And it's true, but as humans, we seek that our whole lives. We never grow out of that. It's always something that we're looking for, and we always want it perfect. And the only way to get it perfect is through God's perfect love. I will argue that. We seek perfect truth. I already said that. Justice. Have any of you, either today or yesterday or at some point in your life, said, it's not fair? Yeah. Right? And that's just something that we seek, perfect justice. We want things to be fair, and sometimes they're not. But we want it. That's something that is unique to us. So what I'm getting at is, there's several more, but what I'm getting at is that as humans, as children of God, there's things that we desire that are in our core, in our pure heart that God created, there's core desires that we can fulfill in one of two ways, in a healthy way or an unhealthy way. So, Dawn, you're still open to Galatians, right? Could you read, actually, does anybody here able to recite Galatians 5:22? Yes, it is.
The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's those things that are
God. Right. And you know what? I just noticed that you all know that scripture, right? The fruits of the Spirit. What I just noticed when she read that is it says, against such things there is no law. And in earlier in Galatians we read, if you walk by the Spirit, you're not under the law. So the fruits of the Spirit are something that we have access to, we receive, I don't know how to word it, when we are led by the Spirit, because we're not under the law. There's no law against them, right? So if those are I'm going to call those fruits of the Spirit, those are, you know, maybe a partial list of those core desires that I keep talking about. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. Isaac, come over here. Come here. You sit here. Yeah, sit there. You sit there. Thank you. Thanks. Sorry for making you do that, but it's really just to keep things a little bit more settled. So, all right, so somebody had Genesis. Yeah, Andrew, could you please read Genesis chapter 3, verse 40? Is it 46? It's 426. I forgot the little dash between the two numbers. From verse 4 to verse 6.
Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wish, she took of the fruit of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband the fruit of her ring.
So why did she eat it? Well, just read the part that says why she ate it.
The serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God."
What does it say about
that? It looked pleasant to the eyes.
It looked pleasant to, yeah, read that part.
It
was good for food.
So the tree was good for food, and that was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one's wish. She took of the fruit.
Wise.
Right? Okay. So that's the key that I want to focus on is that Eve, you know, Satan was there as a serpent, and he convinced her. He's like, you know, God wasn't really telling you all of the truth. You're not going to die. And she was like, okay. And she looked and she saw physically that the fruit was good. It was beautiful. All right. As humans, we seek perfect beauty. We're always looking to improve ourselves. She saw that it was good for food. As humans, we need sustenance. We need physical food to nourish us. And she saw that it was good for wisdom, which is another one of those core desires that we have as humans that we didn't talk about yet, but it says it all over the Bible that you're supposed to seek wisdom, right? That's the first step in fearing God, is seek wisdom. So she took a look at this fruit. Satan was like, "It's okay, go ahead and eat it." And she said, "Yeah, it fulfills these three core desires that I have as a human. So why not eat it?" Right? So she did exactly what Don said. We rush. We want it now. And she got those three core desires fulfilled now because she took that fruit and ate it. If she had waited on the Lord, which we also have scriptures saying, she would have gotten those three things from him and way better too than what she got, I believe. So I think that Eve was deceived and she sinned, but it was because she was fulfilling some healthy desires that she had, but she was looking to herself. She was taking control of the thing by herself. She wasn't waiting on God like she should have done. Satan, on the other hand, we have some examples or some accounts of why he does what he does, and he is serving himself. And that's all he ever does, is he serves himself. He doesn't want to serve anybody. He was not serving Eve when he said, no, you won't die when you eat this. He was serving himself because he was like, I'm going to deceive this girl, and she's going to get mankind to fall on its face forever. And that's going to put me one step closer to my goal for myself, and that is to usurp the Father. What is usurp? Does anybody know that word? You get a free vocabulary lesson. Usurp just means overthrow. Like when you usurp a ruler, you overthrow them, you take over their kingdom. And that's what Satan's goal is. That's what he really wants. He wants to be on top of God. Good luck with that, right? But That's what he was doing. And he, I think, part of all of the little mechanizations that he has to deceive us, he gives us that desire too. We want to be above. And there's scriptures that tell you, you know, don't look at yourself better than others. Always be a servant. Be humble. Just like God is. God, the Son, Jesus, was a servant. He was our servant, and he was humble, even though he was the creator of the universe. So Satan doesn't operate like that. He tries to get us to feed off of our fleshly desires, and distort the core desires so that we fulfill them now in our way, so that we can hear, smell, taste, touch. Why can't I remember the five senses? But so
feel.
Feel, hear, smell, touch, taste. That's it. Yeah. There must be a sixth sense that's like the spiritual sense that we can hear God speak to us. And that's a different topic. So Solomon is an example in the Bible about a guy who has the five senses. He's got this physical thing. And God says, you know, I choose you to lead the people. You're going to be the king over Israel. What do you want? And what did Solomon ask for?
Wisdom.
Wisdom, right? Wisdom is that last core desire that I mentioned, that we talked about. That desire that's in your heart to know more. We want perfect truth as humans. He asked God for that, and God said, well done, good choice. I'm going to give you that and all this other stuff. All this other stuff that we want, that we desire, that fulfills these core desires, like money and power and love and beauty and all these things. You know, Solomon was the most powerful, wisest, richest man on the earth, maybe even today. But Eve looked to herself to fulfill those desires, and Solomon looked to God. And that's why Solomon was blessed, at least for a while. And then things changed, but I need someone else to read a couple of verses. You can? How about 1 John chapter 2?
Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father. It is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world.
Right. So that scripture is, you know, I look at that scripture through the eyes of the teenager that I used to be. And you're all teenagers looking at living in this world, having these things thrown in front of you that look so enticing. And I completely understand with firsthand experience of the things of the world and how they fulfill the lust of the flesh and the lust, you know, and all those spiritual words that get thrown at you that kind of might go in one ear and out the other because they're not real to you. Maybe if we read that in the Message or the Common English version, it might mean a little bit more to you, to us, to humans, to modern day people who are living and being faced with these decisions. But the point is that do you have a CEV or do you have a Message? Could you read it? I don't know what it says, but I'm just interested. That's really cool. Well, I mean, that, like I thought, that really speaks to my modern culture brain that says, you know, wanting those things squeezes out God. It's just so true. And you have to understand that, you know, healthy desires that we have serve others, serve other people. Healthy desires that we have serve God. Unhealthy desires that we have serve what?
Ourselves.
Right, exactly. So when we're focused on ourself, on fulfilling those desires that we have that are not necessarily unhealthy desires, but when we look at it from the viewpoint of serving ourselves, then that's when we get into trouble. So I want to read one final scripture, and then we'll look at the clock and see where we're at for time. Simon, can you read the last one? It's Mark 10. Oh, sorry, 41 and 40 through 45. Yes, please.
Right. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, assuredly, I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if one stone were hung around your neck and would surely succeed. If your hand causes you to sin, hold on. It's better for you to get the life of
So, that's not the right scripture. What?
That was chapter 9.
He read chapter 9? Yeah.
Chapter 10 is, when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John, but Jesus called them to him and said, you know that they which are common to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But so shall it not be among you, whosoever shall be great among you shall be your minister or servant. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. But even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for men.
Right. So did you guys catch that? Simon, you probably didn't because you're a little distracted over there. But what I want to point out is what we talked about earlier is that Jesus came, he was our servant. He served us. Ultimately, by accepting our sins and dying. I mean, that is ultimate service, right? But the point is that the greatest shall be the least. The one who serves shall be exalted, I guess, is the word for that. The point is that if you look to serve yourself, you're going to perish. If you look to serve others, then you will be successful. That is a definition, one of the many, of delighting in the Lord. And if you do that, he will give you all the desires of your heart. And that's all I have. Don.
Along that same line, my son and I have been talking about this recently. There's a very huge upswing of depression and suicide going on with our youth nowadays. And that is because people are focused on themselves. The selfies and look at me and how many people liked everything increases it. But if you're focused on yourself and you isolate yourself from everybody else, you are headed towards depression. That's where you'll end up, thinking only of yourself. And when you focus on others, you can't be depressed.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Mm. So it's God created us that we're healthier when we focus on others. But you're headed towards a losing situation if you think you can satisfy yourself and only focus on yourself and isolate yourself.
Yeah, it's a path to perish. I'm going to leave you with a thought, and that is, imagine where everybody wants you to be happy. where, and I'm talking about everybody, like where when you walk down the sidewalk, when you're in the grocery store, when you're at the gas pump, everybody wants you to be happy. And that's their main focus. That's what they are thinking about, is for you to be happy, to, for you to be filled with joy and be satisfied and to have all of your desires fulfilled. If everybody lived like that, how would this world be? And I ask that question. I really hope that you think about that question and imagine it in your minds. Think about how it would be if everybody wanted you to be fulfilled. And that's everybody, including you. You want yourself to be fulfilled. But your job is also to want everybody to be fulfilled. And that's how God wants it. That's how He created it. And then things crumbled because of Satan. But imagine that. That's the world that He wants for us, is to everyone is fulfilled because, what Don said, we're focused out. I want you to be fulfilled. And everybody has that belief, and everybody receives that, and the world would be awesome. It really would. So thanks for coming, and I hope that somebody has a question or a comment, and if they do, awesome. Yes.
What if Adam would never eat the apple?
What if
Adam?
What if Eve ate it and Adam didn't?
We've done that, but potentially God would have maybe given Adam the opportunity to maybe bring Eve back around.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, you never know.
What could have happened. We won't know, unfortunately, what possibilities. No, no.
Right. So the question that's similar to that I have asked myself is, what if Eve ate it and she said, hey, this is good, take a bite, and he took a bite, and then God's like, what did you do? And Adam was like, oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, you know, please forgive me. That would change things, I'm sure. But what was Adam's response? He was like, well, and he pointed away from himself, but he was the one. God went to him and said, what did you do? Who told you you were naked? And he was like, well, it wasn't me, you know. And so what, in terms of desire, what was he doing? He was fulfilling his desire to be right, his desire to be blameless. Those are not unhealthy desires. We should all desire to be blameless and perfect. But how do you fulfill it? Point the finger and say, it was her fault. She's the one who convinced me to eat it. No, that's not the right way to fulfill that desire. The right way is to say, God, you're merciful. You're gracious. You give me forgiveness. Please grant me forgiveness this time. And I think, if he had done that, God would have said, all right, you're forgiven. And then they would still be in the garden. I think. I don't know. It's an interesting thought process. And I think it kind of goes along with what Don said. If Eve ate it and Adam was like, you ate it, what did you do? No. Now what? Fearful of our God. We made a mistake. What are we going to do? Don't worry. Just hide it. He'll never know, you know, and there you go. You're fulfilling your desire in the wrong way. Or you say, all right, let's go to God right away and see if we can fix this. And be humble and ask for forgiveness. And then God is merciful. And as a parent, I know if my kid lies to me and is like, I'm going to do that, I'm not going to be too happy with that. But if they come and say, you know, I did this and I'm sorry, then I'm going to be much more forgiving. And God is the way, because He made us in His image. Does that make sense?